Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Movie Madness with me, your host, Khalil Jamal. I will be joined shortly by Lindsay Stewart and Dane Clark, the writers and directors for the comedic drama movie Suze, starring Michelle Watkins, Sarah Wiseglass, and Aaron Ashmore. When her only daughter leaves for college, Suze, a single mother who has lost her purpose, gets stuck taking care of her daughter's heartbroken ex-boyfriend who she can't stand. Hopefully you enjoy the interview, and thank you all for listening. I'm so happy to be joined by the writers and the directors of Suze, Lindsay Stewart and Dane Clark. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Excellent.
I'm doing great. I'm actually really excited to talk to you about this film.
But okay.
Before I do that, actually, I want to ask you, you know, anytime you have two people, especially people who, in your case, are married, and in other cases are, you know, you've got great brother duos, and how hard is it to make a movie when, you know, you have a very close relationship with the person who you're making it with, and I'm sure there's disagreements which come about from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots of disagreements. Thankfully, most of them are like in the writing phase. Though I would say we're like, you know, it's just us in a room or like on the couch, just battling it out, trying to figure out which is the best way to go. But, you know, thankfully we have similar sensibilities, and, you know, we wouldn't do this if we didn't love it, or if it didn't work, or if it was too much of a nightmare, or if it was going to destroy our marriage, basically. And so, you know, as Lindsay says, like, we've learned to fight better over the years. And how to
recover better too, like, yeah. Not hold maybe as long of grudges as we might have in the past.
Yeah.
Move on faster.
Yeah. We're growing up.
Yeah.
Or aging, whichever way you want to spin it. But we enjoy working together so much, is why we keep doing it even through the challenges of it all.
Yeah. And I think it's going to just be something that will be a lifelong personal, I'm trying not to say struggle, because I don't know if it's a struggle. It's just a lifelong thing that we manage as we continue to work together. It's always going to have highs and lows, and we're always going to have to be wearing these different hats, you know, where we're like just partners for the day. And now we're like in the trenches of like making something together, and we don't really see each other as romantic partners in this particular moment. So sometimes it just gets all very confusing, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, you know, in this film, I what I noticed was you kind of have the story where you kind of flip some tropes on their heads, and you kind of like, you kind of focus on the character of Gage, who's normally seen as this kind of, you know, unsympathetic kind of dumb boyfriend character. Now, why was it, like, how did you kind of come to the story, and why was that the kind of character who you wanted to make people feel for? Because I like hating those kind of characters normally.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm aware that you like hating those characters, because I saw your letterbox review today. You said you normally hate those kinds of characters, like the dumb doofus boyfriend, right? Like that first quick read. Same. I mean, who doesn't, you know, kind of despise stocky, one-dimensional characters. That was never anything we wanted to do, and we never planned on making him some one-note, just joke.
But we like at the beginning too, and like maybe similar to what you're saying, or like what people have said when they're watching, just like, yeah, at the beginning I hated him, but then I grew to like him and care for him. We're just like, yes, great. Perfect. That's the story. And that was the intention, because we wanted to deal with those judgments as well, right? That like we have about people. And so it's like, Suze thinks that he's just a loser who's not going anywhere, and judging him because his mom's in prison and he seems like a doofus and can't pass high school. And, you know, like all of those typical things that we judge people for on like what makes them successful or respectable or all of those things. But then as she goes deeper and gets to know him more, it's just like, no, he's like just a kind kid that's lost and just like needs a mother, just like she needs a child. And we like that dynamic of this unlikely duo, just like she's losing the kid that she wants and gets stuck with the kid that she doesn't want. And he desperately like wants a connection with an adult and eventually gets that with her as a parental figure.
Yeah.
And just, the pairing just made us laugh, I guess, of just like, she doesn't like this kid at all, and then getting stuck with him. just.
But I also think that why we liked both of these characters, but to answer your question specifically, why this character? I think because he was full of pain and damage, and it was being masked through sometimes coming across as the love child between Encino Man and Keanu Reeves. And we get that, but like this kid is not well, and he's not really being advocated for at home. And Sue sees that underneath this bravado is somebody that's in a lot of pain, and there's a lot of damage that he's tucking away. And I think as people, Dan and I can relate to that. I mean, as a teenager, I went through some challenges and I tucked those away, and I felt like I was personally struggling, and I really wished somebody could have seen that in me. And I think that's really what the vehicle of this movie was doing, of two people that see the pain that the other's in and they take care of each other. And that's just something that I think is a really lovely message.
So I want to ask you this, and hopefully I don't know if this is going to be a long answer, but the pool is a kind of a symbol, right? Like, she obviously at the beginning of the movie, Sue sees the cheating happening in the pool. Mm-hmm. Then later on, there's a mention of, you know, filling the pool, and she basically says she's not going to do that, right? What was the purpose, I guess, of the pool specifically being that? Was there anything else that you're like, was there any kind of deeper meaning to that?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the deeper meaning is to keep the symbolic nature of her being cheated on. Like, that's her ghost that's sitting there in the backyard. So instead of having to see the husband all the time on screen, like, she still lives in the house, mm-hmm. where this terrible wound. Thing. Yeah, yeah. Where this wound happened to her. And so, you know, it's like she's putting this bubble around her in a way by not using the pool and afraid to go in it, or like resisting going in it because of the trauma that happened before there. And so, yeah, we just wanted that to stay there and have that be something that she grows to face and overcome.
And reclaim.
Yeah, reclaim was the word, of just like, she's not going to let this wound dictate her life anymore. She's facing it, reclaiming it, moving on.
Yeah, it's a small win for her that we really wanted to just show through the course of filling up a pool.
Yeah.
What a weird thing.
So could it have been then, like, you know, a car, you know, or a tape, like, you know, like there's so many different. So that wasn't, the pool wasn't necessarily the pool for any reason outside of just being that kind of object, right? Or that kind of, you know, wound, which kind of exists.
I think we wanted her to, you know, bust her husband having relations with this other woman. And we really wanted to find our version of that, because again, that can be a bit of a trope in movies. So what was the specificity? And somehow, I don't know, we just started thinking about a pool and coming home and seeing that happening. And it's this very sexy sort of ambience happening, and you're in the most unsexy phase coming off a plane in your bad business suit. And also, I like water. I'm a Cancer.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a connection there. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I didn't know. That's why I was asking you. I didn't. Yeah. I just thought the way she kind of handled it so calmly was like very indicative of her character, and I really loved that. Now there is a great chemistry between Brooke, between Suze, and between Gage, right? And I think you see that so much throughout the movie. How did you kind of find the people who end up playing these characters? How hard was that? And then, did you kind of realize right away that they did have this great chemistry?
Yeah, well, we were familiar with Michaela's work before. Like, she's been in 1,000 different things, and we'd been following her career for over a decade or so. And like, we're just always big fans, and offered it to her through our casting directors. And thankfully, she responded to the script. And yeah, we knew that she could do it, right? It's like, she's such a strong actor comedically. Yeah. And then just to see her in like a little bit more of a dramatic role, or like a lead role, or like, we knew that she could carry it. And then with Charlie, we hadn't seen any of his
stuff. And just to jump in, I mean, getting Charlie was scary, or like who that person was going to be, because they really just towed this line between having that quick read of you're kind of a feral idiot, but knowing that there's this real depth bubbling underneath the surface. So we were terrified of whether or not we could find who this person needed to be.
Totally. And so our casting director sent us this, you know, list of guys in that age range, and we saw his face. We're like, who's this? Who's this little Sean Penn stud? And so we looked up an interview of his on YouTube. That's how we kind of like check out who actors are to see who they really are, like when they're interviewing and what they're like. And so we saw this interview of him, and he's just charming and wild and feral, like Lindsay said. And he's just like bouncing back between French and English, talking 1,000 miles a minute. And then he'd like break into song, or he's like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And he just,
it was a ride,
but like he was all over the place, but he was still charming too. And we're like, that's what was important. Like that this character is likable and that you're rooting for him. And if he has the exterior of just a dumb poster boy or whatever, but there's depth to him. And so we just kind of like fell in love with him from there. And then we met with him over Zoom. And
then they met. And to answer your question of like, did we know? I mean, no, because we didn't do any sort of, audition read through.
If we had a bigger budget, we would have been able to like have them meet in a room and like screen test them, but we did not.
Yeah.
And so they just met on Zoom for the first time and read a scene together. And thankfully we're like, okay, it's going to work. Yeah. And then in real life, they were so kind to each other, and they really got along and were so supportive of each other. And
they had a mother-son relationship throughout the course of the film, off screen as well.
Yeah.
Which was like super cute. We're all sort of protective of Charlie in a way, just because, you know, he played this, you know, sensitive, fragile kid. Maybe fragile is not the right word, but this sensitive kid. And I think we all sort of, you know, wanted to make sure he felt supported and comforted throughout it. And Michaela was great about doing that as well.
But we're essentially lucky that they got along.
Yeah.
What about the Brooke part of that? And how did that kind of fit into it all?
She's so good. We love Brooke. I mean, to be honest, she was on a list, but for one second we hesitated only because we thought she was too busy. You know, she was in Gina and Georgia, and sometimes, you know, you have Ginny and Georgia. Sometimes you have, you know, low self-esteem as a director, and you're like, I don't know, would they come on? They probably have so many other things going. And she does. She has 1,000 things going, but she was sent the script and she loved it. And incidentally, she's a massive Michaela Watkins fan and used to parody her as a kid when Michaela was on Saturday Night Live. So there was this like really weird full circle for her where she was coming to meet one of her heroes. And
we didn't expect anybody that was like in their early 20s to know Michaela from Saturday Night Live. So that was a bonus as well that Sarah liked her. And, you know, we're so grateful for her because she gave that character like that extra dimension that we were looking for. Like we were worried that she could just be one dimensional because she's a pretty terrible character. You know, it's like she's just a little a biatch.
Yeah.
But, you know, Sarah brought some depth to her. And, you know, we just talked about.
She's so funny.
She's so funny.
Yeah.
But we just talked about like that character is also the way that she is because she's a child of divorce and her mother has smothered her. Right. And so it's like the mom has some culpability in her behavior and why she is this way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say I did text my mother after and say, you're lucky you have such a good son after I watched that movie, in part because of Brooke. I took some pride in, you know, just seeing someone.
Good for you.
That's great.
Now, when you look at the way this ends, right? And you kind of look at the way it starts, right? It ends and starts in a very parallel way, right? Mm-hmm. With this angry daughter, Brooke, being angry at her mother.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the reasons are a little bit different. And both of them kind of start and end with her going to school.
Yeah.
Why did you decide not to kind of go full circle, kind of resolve it and have it kind of be more of a, you know, Suze is kind of going to resolve it by, you know, kind of realizing what she has to do as a mother.
Yeah.
And not really have that kind of, I guess, the conventional, you know, everyone lives happily ever after type thing.
Well, I think, to play devil's advocate, I'd say Suze did feel like she resolved her relationship with Brooke, because at the very end, she stands up to her.
Yeah.
Right. You know, all she wants is for this daughter to come home because she's the center of her world. And this is the whole problem for Suze, is that she hasn't really found her identity outside of her daughter. And she's so afraid she has nothing else. And so a big part of her growth is realizing she, of course, is always going to be in her daughter's life and she's always going to love her, but she can't hold on to her. And it's not just holding on to her daughter. It's an excuse. It's a deflection. It's a way for her to distract her from the things that she's not dealing with. So the fact of the matter that she, you know, says she gives her the boot, you're going back to school, is really about Sue saying, I got to start living for myself and I got to carve out my own life without you in it. And so it's a big moment for her to rise to her real inner strength in that moment.
Yeah.
So what would you kind of say happens next? I guess, like, if you had to kind of say, well, like, kind of right after, what kind of happens with Suze specifically? Does she kind of, you know, find love in other ways? We know there was that one failed kind of half relationship. Yeah. What kind of, what's her next step after the movie ends?
I think she goes to Japan and starts teaching English. it was one of her, in the movie, you know, she always had that dream. I don't see her in the frame store, for the rest of her life. I think she eventually, moves on and tries to find some inner passions. I think Gage and her remain in each other's lives forever. I see her at his wedding. I see her holding his grandchild. I see the two of them, you know, spending time until the bitter end. I don't know about love. I don't know if Suze finds it. I think she finds love with herself and what she has and is content and finds a contentment in that, which I think is the purest form of love.
Mm-hmm. I think she dates around, but, you know, we wanted to make sure that this movie also just like wasn't that she didn't need a man to be happy.
No.
Or like a new like love relationship in that way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, yeah, if she meets somebody that is her equal and does it for him. But yeah, I think she goes and loves herself for a while.
Mm-hmm. Keeps making cookies.
She keeps making cookies.
Trying different recipes.
What about Brooke? What do you see kind of happening with her? Do they kind of resolve their, the tensions? Do they kind of naturally resolve? Does she kind of end up liking her university experience?
This is a question for Dean, because he has sisters that mirror a lot of Brooke's behavior, and yeah, they're now well into their adult years. So
I like to imagine that Brooke like would eventually like start to respect Suze, like especially for standing up to her at the airport and like forcing her to go back. Like, she's not letting her have her way. And because of that, then she goes to school. And yeah, I'm sure she does enjoy herself. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like, because she just has to get over the anxiety and the fear of, you know, not being the coolest girl in school or the center of attention like she probably was in high school. She's a small fish in a bigger pond, and it's hard, and life's hard, and you have to push through that stuff in order to grow. And so I want to hope that, you know, she grows and becomes a little bit more mature over time and kind
of doesn't get stuck living in this town.
Yeah. And kinder to her mother. But yeah, they definitely make up, because she always makes up.
So the last question I want to ask you, because I know I'm running out of time here. I feel like I need to ask the thing that I felt was, and I don't remember if I put this in my letterbox review, but it's the thing I found to be the most unrealistic part of this entire movie.
Okay.
And it's a scene where Suze is on her phone and she sees Brooke's Instagram or whatever social media. And it's like a video of her at a party, whatever. I don't believe that Brooke would have put that on any public facing social media platform. And I don't think she would have given Suze access to any of her private social media accounts. So was there kind of a reason for that? Or, you know, I don't know. Well,
again, I'll play devil's advocate again, because I see it with my sister and my niece. She just forgets. Like, she's changed her username so many times that she can't keep track of which times she's dropped my mom in these rebrands. So I chalk it up to really that. And also, I just don't think she gives a shit anymore. And in fact, I think she wants her mom to see what she's up to. Like,
she doesn't censor herself around her mom, like similar to your niece. I'm just like, she's not afraid to like have a bong in the shot. And that's just kind of like she's out partying. This is the stuff that's up. And like whether she put that up when she was drunk or inebriated or whatever, like she doesn't know. She's not thinking about her mom.
Yeah.
I think is the reason that it was believable to us is that she doesn't think about her mom. She just thinks about herself. Yeah. And that this is what she puts out in the world. And this is how she's hanging out with her friends. And mm-hmm. this is how she wants to be perceived. But she doesn't care what mom thinks.
Look, she's a brat.
She's a brat.
Well, with that being said, thank you guys so much for taking the time. I don't want to take any more of your your valuable time. I appreciate you guys coming on and talking to me, and hopefully hopefully you know everyone checks out your movie. It's amazing. And I'm excited to see what you guys do next.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for your thoughtful questions and I appreciate your nice take on the movie. It sounded like it was a bit of a complicated watch for you, but it ended up being okay.
Yeah.
It was really good. I enjoyed it. Thank you again, and we'll have you back on at some point, I'm sure. Thank you.
Yeah, I would love that.
Thanks, Khalil.
Bye. Bye, Khalil. Be nice to your mom.
I will. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed that interview. And if you did, be sure to share it with your friends. You can follow the podcast feed for even more great stuff. There's also stuff that's already come out. If you want to see more, you can follow us on social media at comicboys_. You can also check us out on YouTube at CB Media Network. Also on all podcast apps if you want even more content and other stuff that's outside of, you know, kind of the strict podcast format. And you can follow CIUT also on social media. So thank you and see you next week. Bye.